Amen. So lesson number four, we'll start in here on that with the introduction. It says, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people who are trying to serve Him? This is a question that baffles many. In trials, we learn lessons that we otherwise would not learn. And I got a story about that. We just got done building a power plant over the last 2-3 years here, and we had a lot of trouble with the new one when we were trying to get it going. There's a torque converter on there that needs to break that turbine free and get it spinning when you want to start it up. And so when you have trouble with something, you gotta dig into it. You gotta get out the manual. You gotta maybe get a hold of somebody on tech support. You try some different things, and then through that, we learned how this thing worked. And lo and behold, here a few weeks ago, our other unit, they gave it a start. The dispatcher over here gave it a start and sent the signal, and the starting motor started up, but the turbine didn't spin. And so anyway, it was a problem with that torque converter. And the things that we learned from the other one sure came in handy. We've been able to manually adjust that and get it going for the last, I don't know, a couple months now. The new one just showed up today. The new torque converter actuator. So, and we get to learn how to put that on. But you learn things when you go through trials. You go through problems in life. And so we'll continue on here. God, in His infinite wisdom, knows what we can and cannot handle and gives us exactly what we need. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. There will be dreaded experiences in your life. But often, after they are over, we will find that the Lord was working in our life. There will be other things that we will not fully understand until we get to heaven. Amen to that. When facing problems, we need to remember, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12:9a. In suffering, we realize how truly weak we are. Yet it is here we find the strength of our God. So why does God allow Christians to suffer? So those words in that one were bad, good lessons, fully, and strength. All right, so why does God allow Christians to suffer? Number one, to discipline us. Every child of God is chastened by the Lord. Hebrews 12:5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." So God chastens His children. If you're a child of God, He cares about you and He's chastening you. God's discipline is an indication of His love for us. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." The Lord loves His children too much to let certain behavior go uncorrected and unrebuked. And you know, think about that in raising your own children. You don't want to let something go on in their life where you could have corrected it, and they're gonna have problems down the road. I had a guy that I worked with one time, and we joked and said, He was probably never told no as a kid, you know, just the way he acted. And so God loves us, and he wants to correct us because he loves us, because he doesn't want us to have a train wreck down the road. And see, God's discipline is for our profit. Hebrews 12:10 says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So God is disciplining us because we're his children, because he loves us, and he's doing it for our profit. And D, we should respond to his discipline in the right way. How? Number one, by reverencing him. Reverencing him. Hebrews 12:9 says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" And so we should recognize that we're being corrected, disciplined by the word, by the Lord, and reverence him. And number two, by enduring it. Hebrews 12:7 says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So we respond in the right way by enduring that discipline. And number three, by knowing it is for our good. Hebrews 12 and verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And so he's doing it for our good, and afterwards it yields this peaceable fruit of righteousness. And it just made me think of the fruit of the Spirit, you know? And so God's trying to form this fruit in us, this fruit of the Spirit, and peaceable fruit of righteousness. And God knows what is best for his children. Not every trouble in our life is God's correction. But when we do have trouble, we should immediately ask the Lord if there is some area in our life that he is trying to correct. When trouble comes, boy, ask the Lord. Psalms 21:29 and verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so ask the Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Is there anything I need to get right? Lord, you know, just being tender to the leading of the Spirit there. And so why does God allow Christians to suffer, to discipline us? Number two, to show us his power. A, the power of his grace. We often don't realize the power of God's grace until we are put in a position to rely upon it. In suffering, we learn to avail ourselves of it. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's the Apostle Paul there. And so to glorify God in an infirmity is impossible. Yet by God's grace, we may do so. And then to show us his power, and the power of his grace, and the power of his peace. Only the peace of God can keep us together during the storms of life. I don't know if you remember a time before you had peace. I remember after I got saved. It was, 6-9 months later, I just realized that I had a peace in my heart that wasn't there before. And I remember, just growing up, going through life and just searching for something, thinking, man, if I get that pickup, then I'll be happy. If I get that girl, I'll be happy, I remember just seeking for peace in things, and I remember just thinking, there's just got to be something more, there just has to be something more. I remember doing the Bible study at the Transition Center, the Bismarck Transition Center, with Jerry Torres. And that guy had lived a rough life, similar to Brother Spurgeon. I remember him telling those guys that, he'd been in and out. He'd spent 18 years in prison and just in and out, And I remember him telling those guys down there that one time, I don't know where he was, what the circumstances were, if he was hungover or coming off of drugs or whatever, but just standing at the sink and washing his face and looking in the mirror and just thinking, man, there's got to be something more. And there is. There is in Jesus Christ. And I found that peace, and Brother Torres found that peace. And only the peace of God can keep us together during the storms of life. Philippians 4:7 says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are many examples in the Christian faith of those whose response to trouble can only be explained by the power of God's peace and grace in their lives. Peace and grace are not solely for some elite Christian. It is available to each of us. And if that peace is maybe faded off a little bit, or you're not feeling it as much as you did before, maybe you need to check some things with the Lord. Ask him that. Search me, O God, and get close to him, and it'll come back. You can have that peace. And so why does God allow Christians to suffer? To keep us humble. To keep us humble. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. As Christians gain knowledge, we are susceptible to pride. Sometimes God allows suffering in our lives to keep us humble. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And we were just back home this past weekend, and talking to my dad, and there was a company that's been in Tioga there my whole life. It was Hess Corporation, and they've had oil wells there my whole life, and since the Bakken boom. The other people have moved in, but they've been there the whole time. And a lot of local people work for them, and so they just got bought out by a different company, and the company that bought them doesn't really care much about what's going on here, but they were this Hess was part of a oil play going on somewhere else, a really good one, I guess, with another. They were in there, and another big company was in there, and this other company bought them to get in on that, basically, and so it just happened, and they cut 70 jobs in North Dakota, just right off the bat, and so there's my dad named off, you know, a handful of people that we know that got laid off just recently. And this deal has been going on for like a couple years, and the lawyers have been stopping it and all this, and now it just went through. So some people are going through some things up there, you know? And it's a trial for them, and you know, it's been good up there for a long time in that area, man. Good jobs are abundant up there, and you know, those people have had good jobs, and you know, we had the 2008 thing happen, and the whole country went through a tough time. North Dakota, we were booming here. That's when it first, you know, it was just going on up there. And so this is a trial for some of those guys right now. Paul here says the abundance of revelations that Paul received were accompanied by a thorn in his flesh. He was not being punished for sin. Rather, he was gifted with an ailment that would keep him humble. All right, and so, you know, these people have been enjoying prosperity, good jobs for a long time, they've just been gifted with something to keep them humble up there, and you know, whether or not how they're going to respond to that. God understands what we can handle, and He knows when we become puffed up in mind and heart. These thorns we receive are often the very thing that keeps us in fellowship with God. How about that? You know, that thing that you hate might be the thing that is keeping you in fellowship with God. James 4:6 says, "But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So why does God allow Christians to suffer? Number four, to teach us how to minister to others. It is our responsibility to minister to others. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." The problem is this. We usually don't think to bear the burdens of others, or we don't know how to bear their burdens with them. We cannot minister effectively to those who suffer and face pain if we have not faced pain and suffering ourselves. B, we must get our eyes and thoughts off ourselves. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." When we go through a trial, the Lord will open our eyes to others and what they are going through. Trials prepare us to minister to others. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And Pastor, you know, he's just been talking about this and going through 2 Corinthians. And so we've been hearing a lot about this here recently. And as we learn of God's grace, peace, and comfort in our sufferings and trials, we become equipped to help others by teaching them the things we have learned. God will put us through things because He desires us not only to be more sympathetic with others, but also to be able to help comfort them by the comfort we have received from God. It is a great blessing when a suffering Christian has another Christian share their similar experiences. They will be helped by your comfort, sympathy, and good advice. Learn from your trouble, so God can use it for His purpose. And so, my nephew just graduated high school this spring, and his plan was to take up the offer that this Hess company had up there. They had this, I think it was called a JET program, and they would hire people with no training, and they would train them to do the job and pay them while they're getting trained and then give them a job in the end. And so that was a sweet deal. And there was some other people I know that had taken them up on that offer. There was a graduate a couple of years ago in my niece's class that took them up on that. And one of my classmates, both of his sons, or two of his sons, had gone through the program and were working up there. And my nephew was planning on doing that. And now that whole thing, I think, is wiped out, because I heard those people, all those people got let go. And so that's a bummer, but I was able to tell my nephew that these things happen. You know, I remember growing up, my dad's company went through a few of these buyouts. You guys probably remember, because the refinery changed hands over here too. It was Amoco forever, and then it was BP. Well, BP came in, and they had new rules and new way of doing things. Everybody had to cross train. And so there was a lot of heartburn over that, you know, locally, that I heard about from my dad back then. And then it was a few years later, then it was Tesoro. And then now it's Marathon over here. And just my experience with working for MDU in 2008, there was layoffs here. There was they were supposed to cut two people from the plant over there where I worked. And they were, you know, kind of like, man, who do we have to cut? Well, then they had two people quit. So that was, they just gave them that. They didn't have to let anybody go. They let themselves go. But that, I remember that happening. And you know, people throughout the company were cut and laid off, whatever. And then just more recently, with the closure of the plant, the coal plant, we went from 50 people down to 5, you know. And so this happens in life. And there's Christians that work for these companies too. And so they're going through these trials, you know, along with the lost people. But anyway, I was able to tell my nephew this, that, hey, this is normal. You know, this happens. And just, you know, you'll find something. You'll figure out something to do. So why do Christians suffer? Number 5, to make us more like Christ. God's desire is to conform us to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." We serve a Savior who suffered many things. We will not be conformed to his image without some suffering of our own. In suffering, we get to know Christ better. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If you want to know and understand the Lord better, then God will allow trouble to help you accomplish that. This does not mean that we should look for trouble. Instead, when God brings trouble into your life, go through it without fighting others or fighting him. Don't run from the situation or gripe about it, but approach it with the proper attitude of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." And when you're going through it, it's not fun. It's not, the chastening is not enjoyable, you know, but it's grievous, you know, and we can you know, have a short fuse at those times. You know, we can be prone to fight and get angry. And Pastor was just talking about the thing about spirits and anger and letting yourself, you know, that evil spirit get in there and kind of take over and get mad. You know, a madman is like somebody that's crazy, you know, that's obviously being controlled by an evil spirit possibly. And so we ought not to do that when we're going through these things. Go through these things without getting mad. That's easier to say than to do. But what's God trying to do? You know, help us out. Help us to deal with these things without flipping out, without losing it, and losing your mind and becoming mad. Or getting mad at God and fighting against him, what he's trying to do. Don't run from it. Take that approach. Lord, is there anything in my life that you're trying to show me right now? And boy, we got an example in Christ when he was reviled not again. And amen to that. So why do Christians suffer? Number six, to make us more heavenly minded. We don't naturally think about heavenly things. If we are not careful, we will get too comfortable down here on the earth and forget to live for Christ. God must bring troubles into our lives to get us looking forward to heaven. And just about a week ago or so, we were here in town, and we were at a picnic, and they were worried about a storm coming, and the storm didn't mess up the picnic, but there was a lady on there talking about some meteorologist guy that's like a storm chaser guy, and her daughter had met him one time, and he's YouTube famous or something like that. And the storm happened up home there where I'm from, Powers Lake, And that night we're home, and Erica, here's that storm chaser in Powers Lake, that very guy, and he's here, and he's, you know, watching the hailstones pummel the town and the area up there and whatnot. So they had a big hailstorm go through there, and several of the farmers, their crops got totaled out. Some were not quite enough totaled out, so they still have to combine it and see how many bushels they got, and then they'll pay them, you know, off of that. But they had that go through, you know, and you know, they're having a good year, man. It's green in August. We're getting good rain this year, and probably had a good crop standing out there. And you know, soybeans need rain in this time of year, and the soybeans were looking good. And they're not looking good anymore, you know. And so, man, you know, you can have that good crop and be feeling good about it, and you know, not thinking about heavenly things. And boy, now you're thanking the Lord for all those times that it didn't hail, you know. And so that just happened up there. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." It is not a surprise that a lost person's affection would be on earth, but it is a shame when saved people are no different. What will God have to do in our lives if we do not set our affections on things above? If we are truly heavenly minded, then we will invest in things above. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Amen. And then, finally, why do Christians suffer? Number 7, to teach us to please and praise God. It's relatively easy to praise God when things are going well. However, it is quite another thing to choose to praise Him when we are hurting and don't understand. Hebrews 13, verses 15 through 16 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." It will be a sacrifice to praise the Lord when you are suffering. When we choose to offer this spiritual sacrifice, God is pleased, since the true purpose of our existence is to bring glory to God. We will find ourselves filled with His comfort, peace, and love, knowing that He is pleased. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11 says, "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We just, we were up home there because my niece got married this weekend. And she had an outdoor wedding. And, you know, we all prayed for good weather for that. And it was windy. And she had it set up on top of a hill, and And pictures were family pictures were supposed to be like four, something like that. So we all went out there to the top of this hill. Nobody was there. And we're looking around and, oh, they're down in the trees down here. So it's kind of like the Heart River Valley over there. There's big hills and whatnot. And so they had gone down to the end of the trees to get out of the wind to take some pictures of the bridal party and whatnot. And so I sent a scout down there, Carson, to go and see if we were supposed to go down there. And he waved us down. So we started heading down, and I was helping my mom, and then she told me to help my wife, and that my dad would help her down. And so, you know, it's kind of a steep hill, and they got their shoes on, you know, and whatnot. So we get down there, and then they were kind of finishing up. They took some pictures with my mom and dad because they made the trip down there. But none with none of the rest of us, so we made the trip for nothing. Anyways, my mom noticed that they were all standing in poison ivy down there, and all the bridesmaids, you know, they've got like sandals on, and you know, so we didn't say anything. And then they ended up going over to my parents' yard, and they have an established tree row over there that blocks the wind. And so we took pictures by the tree row, family pictures. And my mom she's been battling with this poison ivy for many years because she's a berry picker. And you got to go in there, and she's learned what works. And so she has a spray bottle of rubbing alcohol. And so we got that out, and everybody got to spray down their stuff. And I don't know, but I think everybody's been good, and they haven't gotten it. But someone asked my mom the next day about the wedding. How was the wedding? And she said, there was no smoke, there were no bugs, and there was no heat and humidity. Didn't say anything about the wind. You know, and so she wasn't complaining about it. You know, you could have complained. You know, it was the preacher's mic. It was kind of hard to hear him with the wind and whatnot. You know, they did instead of the unity candle, they branded a piece of cowhide. They had a little like torch going, and that blew out a couple times. You know, but my mom decided not to complain about it. You know, and so when we're going, you know, he's trying to teach us to please him and praise him in all things. All right. So that's the lesson.